The Gemara suggests that Mave in the Mishnah is Mayim. Mave is Mayim. Tosis asks, what exactly is the case then of Mayim damaging as one of the Arba Olos Nezikim? So Tosfos says in his first suggestion, maybe we're talking about Koach Sheni, and the whole chiddush of the Torah of teaching us that Mav is a Mazik is that you're going to be chayiv on Koach Sheni. What's Koach Sheni? So Tosfos tells you the case. You remove some type of daf, you remove some type of blocker, a plug that's holding back a flow of water. By pulling out the plug, the water flows and is able to damage. So in that situation, that case of removing the plug and allowing the water to flow is discussed in the Gemara in one or two locations. The Gemara there makes a distinction between Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. What's Koach Rishon? Koach Rishon means the initial rush of water. So let's take a look. Let's just remind ourselves. There's a Gemara, for instance, in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if a person kills someone by drowning him in a flow of water, he ties a person up, puts him in front of a water source or a dam, he pulls the plug out from the dam, and the water, I think it was very creative in its murder techniques, and the water flows out of the dam and drowns the person. The Gemara says, if it's the immediate rush of the water, that's koach rishon. That's an extension of the person. Koach of a person. So then, a person, if found guilty in court with Edim and Hasra, would get the death penalty. That's considered real murder in halacha. But, if a person ties someone up, puts them, you know, like down the railroad tracks, right? Puts them half a mile down the road, pulls out the plug, the water comes flowing, and the water kills the person. The Gemara says you're a very bad person, and you killed someone, and you caused the death of a person, but you don't get the death penalty for that. That's not considered the direct action of a person. That's not Ritzicha B'mezid that you get the death penalty on. So Tosfos quotes this distinction and says, I don't understand. You see from that Gemara that if you cause an immediate rush of water, what's that? What's that called? Koch Rishon? That's you. So,
it's like you're killing him.
It's like you're killing him. And let's bring it over, let's transport it to our case of Nezikin. We know that there's something called Adam HaMazik, when a person damages. So now we say, no, we're going to introduce a new Mazik. This new Mazik is called water, the water damager. How do you damage through water? So Tosfos asks, I don't understand. Memanavshach. If you just pull out the plug and there's the immediate rush of water, and it damages through that, that's not Mayim. What's that called? That's Adam HaMazik. And if you pull out the plug and the water flows downstream and then damages, that's Koach Sheni, and that's Grama, and you're Pachter on that. You see in Sanhedrin, at least, that when it comes to murder, that's how we make that distinction. So Tosfos is bothered, what would be the case of water destroying in our Gemara? Comes Tosfos in his first answer and says, "Ein hachanami, you are right. That is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. But the chiddush of our sugya would have been that in koach sheni you're chayev." Tosfos says that the chiddush of our sugya, what would have been mayim? Right, that was Tosfos' question. What is the case of mayim? So Tosfos' answer is the case of mayim is not koach rishon. So that's already adam hamazik. We don't need a chiddush for that. Of course you're chayev. You damage with water. What does it make a difference if I damage by drawing on your shirt with my hand, or I spritch oil, or I spritch water on your shirt and damage your shirt? You have a shirt that's susceptible to damage from water. So I spill water onto your shirt. That's Adam. That's not the case, says Tosfos, that the case is Koach Sheni. Oh, you're going to ask me in Sanhedrin it says Koach Sheni, your potter, because it's Grama? No, that's the Chiddush of our Gemara. The Chiddush of our Gemara is that if Mayim is an Av Nezikin, you're going to be Chayiv on Koach Sheni. Even though the Gemara in Sanhedrin says you're Pater, our Gemara would be teaching that you're Chayiv. Now, the Rashba, I believe, if I remember correctly, the Rashba notes this and says, wait a second, I think our Gemara is against the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The steer of the Gemaras. Can you turn this off right now? It's on somebody. I'm not going to open the window. I'm going to turn it off. So the Rashba, though, says This must be another indication that this is not a serious havamin in our Gemara. When our Gemara says maybe Mav is Mayim, maybe Mayim is one of the Dalad Avos Nezikin, the Rashba says this is not a serious havamin. They're not really considering that this is a Mazik. Why not? Because it goes explicitly against the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin already tells us that you're not Chayim in that situation. But the Maharam notes that you don't really need to say like the Rashba. The Maharam of Lublin, commentary on Tosfos, so the Maharam notes, wait a second, let's just do the calculation here. This is the Gemara's Havamina. The Gemara's Havamina is that the Chiddush of Mava would be that you're Chayiv when it's Koach Sheni. But we reject this, Lahalacha. You're going to tell me, oh, there's a contradiction against this in Sanhedrin. Yeah, maybe the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which tells me that Koach Sheni, you're Pater on, that's because the Gemara in Sanhedrin is after we've already discarded that Mava is Mayim. We raise the possibility of Mava being Mayim. You're right, if we end up going with that, what's going to be with the Gemara in Sanhedrin? You're right, we're going to have to work that out. Maybe we're going to reject the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Maybe the Gemara in Sanhedrin never would have said what it said if the true pshat of the Shilach was that Mava means Mayim. If the true pshat in Parshas Mishpatim was that Mayim is a Mazik, maybe the Gemara in Sanhedrin never would have said what it said. So you can't ask a kasha on our Gemara's Havamina, on our Gemara's consideration, based on the conclusion of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, because the conclusion of our Gemara works perfectly with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Conclusion of our Gemara is Mav is not Mayim. Mav is really Shane or Adam. And therefore, you don't have to really get into this discussion of is Koach Sheni going to be Chayev or not. We're going to go like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Koach Sheni is Panter. Okay. I went through that quickly. I think you saw those sources inside. That's the discussion in our sugya. I wanted to take the opportunity today to discuss what I think is a very interesting topic in halacha, and that is the question of koach sheni. How do we look at koach sheni in general? So, as you saw, this idea of koach sheni, which is quoted by the Tosfos here on Daf Dalet, koach sheni is really only mentioned in the Gemara. In this distinction between Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni, it's really mentioned really only in two or three contexts. Context number one is the Gemara in Sanhedrin about murder. We already described that case. That if you murder with Koach Rishon, the initial flow of water, you're Chayiv. If you murder with Koach Sheni, then you're not going to be Chayiv. You're still murdered. You're still a bad person. You're not going to be Chayiv in court. The other context where this comes up is the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, I believe, I have to remember which one. The Gemara, I don't remember if it's Sanhedrin or Chulin now, also discusses in Tilas Yadayim with regarding Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. We know that for Tilas Yadayim, you can't just like stick your hands. There's a discussion about sticking hands into water. But in general, you have to pour onto your hands in order to do Tilas Yadayim. Pour onto your hands. So it's a discussion about sticking your hands into a mikvah. A mikvah can then tire a whole body. But for Tilas Yadayim, we generally assume you have to pour from a kos. Koach gavra, you have to pour onto your hands. So Gemara wants to know, what if I remove the plug, the water flows onto my hands? Is that considered that I washed my hands? Is that like pouring onto my hands? And we have the same question about koach rishon or koach sheni, right? Excellent. Like turning on the sink faucet, where there's water pressure behind the sink faucet. When I open the faucet, the water pressure causes the water to come out. Now, there's a question, is that considered koach rishon, koach sheni? If I'm right under it, that might be koach rishon, that might be okay. If it flows down a stream and then hits my hands, even though I started the flow, that might already be considered koach sheni. That's not considered my actions. That's not considered koach gavra. The other area, though, where the Gemara discusses it is in Chulin regarding shchita. By shchita, shchita does not need to be done l'shma. That's an explicit Gemara. Shechita does not need to be done l'shma, which means that if I am, another example, if I got a much more realistic example, if I'm practicing my knife throwing, and as I throw the knife, a poor cow happens to walk by, and the perfect throw of the knife pierces the simanim in his neck, and I do a shechita, so, right, practical case, so the din is that would be a good shechita. Because it was done from my action. Shechita needs to be done from Maisa Adam. It's a direct result of my throwing of the knife. But it wasn't with kavanah. You don't need kavanah. You don't need kavanah for shchita. And that's why the Gemara discusses, can you have a child or can you have a Gentile do the shchita if you're standing over them and you're watching to make sure that it's being done properly. It is coming from the act of a person. And you don't really need kavanah. You just have to make sure the shchita, yep, shchita needs to be done properly. That's not what kavanah means. You have to make sure that the shchita cut the right part of the animal. But you don't need kavanah. So the Gemara talks about an ancient machine that would spin a knife. They connected a machine and it had a knife on it. And it was like, you know, the first shchita factory. And they could walk the cows past the machine and they would spin a wheel and the knife would come and shech each animal as it came by. So the Gemara in Chulin wants to know, if you're shochet with a mochni, with a machine, does it work? Where are we on Daf Tezayin? Anyone remember? Tezvav, okay. So the Gemara says, in our original Braisa, it says if you're shochet with a mochni, it doesn't work. Then the Gemara says, no, it's good, it's kosher, it's a good shchita. The Gemara gives two answers to work out this contradiction between the Braisas. The first is that there's a difference between a human-powered wheel and a water-powered wheel. A human-powered wheel, I'm spinning the wheel and causing the knife to spin. So what does it make a difference if I hold the knife in my hand or if I hold the knife by putting it in a machine and spinning the machine? It's me. It's me. It's koach adam. And the second, where the Braisa says that it's possible, the Braisa is talking about where you have a water-powered machine. Maybe you start the flow of the water, but the water-powered machine is spinning, and that's causing the shchita. That's not koach adam. That's the water causing it, right? Like even still today, but not as popular, but for many, many years, they use water-powered mills to grind grain. So you would have the mill would spin, would be powered by the spinning of water. The water would spin the lever,
the wheel,
the water wheel, and that would power the grinding of the wheat. The Gemara says that's one possibility to work out this contradiction. Then the Gemara gives another possibility. Ibai Seima, we're all talking about a water wheel, a water-powered shchita machine. But, you know the Gemara talks about water-powered shchita machines. So the water-powered shchita machine, but there's a distinction if we're talking about koach rishon or koach sheni. If we're talking about koach rishon, which means that when you lift up, you cause the flow of water, you open the dam, the dike, to let the water flow out of the water source, and it spins the machine. So Rashi says, koach rishon means, Rashi's a little bit vague here, he says, if it's the first or second spin, then that's called koach rishon, that's a good shchita. But once the first or second spin have passed, and now the machine is just spinning third, fourth, fifth, sixth, because of the flow of water, that's already called koach sheni, and that's when the braisa said pasul. The braisa that said it's kosher is the initial spin when you let the water flow through. And the braisa that says pasul is referring to the later spinning that's already now termed by the Gemara koach sheni, no longer your maise, and therefore it's not a good shchita. Okay. Tosfos compares our case of Nezikin to these cases, the case in Sanhedrin, he doesn't mention the case in Chulin, but to the case in Sanhedrin. And Tosfos maintains that just like in Sanhedrin, it will only be you, the act will only be attributed to you if it's koach rishon, not if it's koach sheni. So too, when it comes to Nezikin, if it's koach rishon, it's maisa adam. If it's koach sheni, you should be putter on Nezikin. That's the background that you need to know to hear a little bit of the history of a raging debate that took place in Europe in the 1800s. On Daf Dalet Amud Beis in Babakama. So now, there was a raging debate in Europe in the 1800s.
Still raging.
Okay, but I don't know if it's raging now. It's a debate. But it was raging in Europe in the 1800s. First, Industrial Revolution, they started building things with machines, and they were able to create tzitzis, tvias tzitzis, through a machine. And the question was, is that allowed in terms of tzitzis? Now, what's the question? The Gemara Menachos, and this is Nifsak L'Halach and Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Hayim, Yud Aleph Aleph, that the tviya of tzitzis, need the weaving of the strings, needs to be done b'kavana. It needs to be done l'shma. That's why the Gemara is in Menachos, and it's Paskin L'Halacha, in Yud Aleph Amin Aleph, right. But the main sugyas of tzitzis, or that's be quoting from Menachos. Menachos is where the main sugyas of tzitzis are. It's like 10 blot that discuss the sugyas of tzitzis. So the Shulchan Aruch in Yud Aleph Aleph quotes this halacha. That's why, you know, if you go to buy tzitzis, so if you look at the little sticker, it'll say the tfiyah was done. When the tfiyah, by the way, means the preparation of the strings. There's a different discussion if the actual winding of the strings, right? The winding of the strings, if that needs to be done with shema. There's different discussions of the different stages of tzitzis. But the question was raised, is it okay to have tzitzis produced by a machine? Or is there going to be a problem that this isn't lishma? So I gave you on the source sheet a line or two from a tshuva of the Imre Esh. The Imre Esh was Rav Meir Eisenstatter. He was from Hungary. He died in 1852. He was one of the first Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer. And he paskined, based on the sugyas that we just discussed, that the machine, granted you might turn on the machine, but after the initial output of the machine, let's say the first spin or two, if we're going to use the terms from Chulin, after the machine is already running, so that seemingly is koach sheni. I turn on the machine, the Imre Esh, of Meir Eisenstatter. I turn on the machine at 9 o'clock in the morning. By 9:30, 10 o'clock, the machine's already running on its own. It's spun many times already. According to the Gemara, that should be koach sheni. That should not be attributed to me. And therefore, how can the act be considered lishma if it's not me acting? Lishma means, seemingly, that I need to be doing it. I need to be doing it with the intent to be making tzitzis. And if I'm not even doing it, how can there be lishma? That's what he argued. This was also argued by the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Halberstam, who was the Sanz Rav. He was the founder, if you've heard of Sanz Chassidim. If you've been to Netanya, so you know that there's Kiryat Sanz, Yerushalayim. Kiryat Sanz. So right near where the big bell shul is Kiryat Sanz. So the first Sanz Rav, he was also one of the Gedolei Poskim in Europe at the time, the Divrei Chaim. So he also writes that based on these sugyas, it appears that to use a machine to make tzitzis would be a problem because it's koach sheni, and whenever it's koach sheni, it's not attributed to you. However, many more modern day poskim, did not accept this chumrah of these great 19th century rabbonim. The Chazon Ish, the Har Tzvi, which is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, they both wrote that, granted, you're correct in your analysis of the Gemara. If it's the machine, it's not you. But who said it needs to be you in order for it to be lishma? And they're both mechadesh, that as long as the process is begun lishma, the Avnei Nezer, for instance, also accepts this. He says, just to give you an example, what it means the process has started. He says that if you feed the wool into the machine lishma, meaning as you put it in, you say, I'm doing this for the mitzvah of tzitzis, even if the machine does the rest, granted, if I asked you, put on your halachic glasses, and I asked you, from the perspective of halacha, did a person make these strings? The answer is no. It was koach sheni. It's not attributed to me. But is it lishma? They assume that yes. Meaning those who are machmir, the Imre Esh, the Divrei Chaim, they assume that the two issues are automatically connected with each other. If it's not you acting, then we can't say it's lishma. Comes the Chazon Ish, comes the Har Tzvi and their mechadesh, that granted it's not you, but it could still be lishma. Because as long as a process is begun lishma, then even if later in the process it's not you acting it, since you started the machine, since you fed the wool in, that's enough. Our threshold or our requirements in order how to determine if something is lishma is very low. It can actually not be you producing it, but it could still be that the process is considered lishma. Okay.
You don't need a man, you just
as long as we're able to consider this action to be done lishma. If the machine was turned on lishma, that's considered that it's being done lishma and it's kosher for tzitzis. So what I want to point out, hold on one second, what I'm trying to point out, everyone we've seen until now agrees with their analysis, or with the analysis that we've done in Sanhedrin and Chulin. Everyone agrees that if it's koach sheni, it's not you. The debate that raged regarding tzitzis and machine-made tzitzis was all about, do you need it to be you, Maisa Adam, in order for it to be lishma, or is it possible to give it the status of lishma by starting the process, by feeding the woolen? So that's the chiddush that they're saying, is that it is possible to give, to make something lishma has a very, very low standard.
If it's not you, then it's essentially not often the machine making it, and the machine can't be making it lishma.
But what if I turned on the machine lishma?
So they're
being mechadish that in halacha we look at all the pu'ula of the machine, even though the machine's making it, the pu'ula of the machine is lishma, which means that if the machine killed someone, it wouldn't be me killing, but it is still able to be an act that's considered lishma.
Right.
Meaning lishma in halacha just means that the process was begun with the intent to do the mitzvah. Okay.
So they would say that you can use the machine.
They passed in that you would be able to use the machine to make tzitzis because that fulfills requirements of lishma. You don't need a person to make tzitzis. That's not the din. The din is granted. If there's something that requires human activity, like what? Shchita, that requires human activity, a person needs, then the machine wouldn't be good. But if all we need is to fulfill the requirement of lishma, then that's okay. So what we're seeing is that we have the question of human activity, maisa adam. Murder requires maisa adam. Shchita requires maisa adam. Netilas yadayim requires maisa adam. And that, for those questions, we ask koach rishon, koach sheni. That's our question we ask for those issues. But the tzitzis requires lishma. Is tzitzis also going to be dependent on koch rishon, koch sheni? So as we saw, the Imri Yesh, the Divrei Chaim say yes. The Chazon Ish, the Tzvi Pesach Frank say no. That's not a question of koch rishon, koch sheni. The Shema is a separate analysis, separate question. All of this sets the stage for a very beautiful chiddush of Rav Tzvi Aryeh Tzvi Fromer. Now, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, I actually brought a picture of him because it's actually in Yonah Dioma. With what's going on in Eretz Yisrael today. As you know, today there is a meeting of many world leaders because it's 75 years since the emancipation, what's the word they always use? The liberation, thank you. The liberation of Auschwitz. And therefore, that's, as I said, that's why I was late this morning. They're closing the highways. There's a lot of leaders here. So, Rav, I have a personal connection to Rav Fromer, who was killed in 1943 in Majdanek. Okay? Because when I was in YU, so I spent a lot of time in the fifth floor of the library, which is where all the Svarim are, and that's the Judaic floor of the library. And one of the floors of the Judaic, a 5A, is dedicated in honor of Rav Fromer. So there's a big picture of him. So I brought the picture in. There's a big picture of him on the floor there. He took over, as I believe, as the Rosh Yeshiva of Chachmei Lublin after Meir Shapiro passed away. You know, Meir Shapiro was the one who established the Daf Yomi, besides doing many other things. He was very young, and he passed away, I think, from a disease when he was 39, 40, like a flu or a typhus. You know, he passed away, you know, not from cancer. He passed away from a disease that he caught at a very young age. He was around 40 years old, something along those lines. And Rav Fromer took over for him afterwards. And Rav Fromer was killed in the Holocaust, Hashem Yakom Domo. He was killed al Kiddush Hashem in 1943 in Majdanek. You're going to be going to Poland, some of you. So I think you visit Majdanek. So you might be able to be at the location where he was killed. So he wrote a sefer called Eretz Tzvi. Okay, Rav Schechter, from where he wrote a sefer called Eretz HaTzvi. This is called the Sefer Eretz Tzvi. Now, he's also referred to sometimes as the Kodjaglover, because he was from the town of Kodjaglover. They called him the Kodjaglover. So he has a very sharp chiddush in the sugya. And he says as follows. He was asked also about this question of making tzitzis and other things through a machine. And he points out something very sharp. He says, wait a second. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Gemara in Chulin. What are the cases over there? How do you cause the machine to start working? What did I say you do? How do you start it? You remove the plug that causes the flow of water. So says the Kodja Glover, maybe this whole distinction between Koch Rishon, it's pretty coincidental. It would be pretty coincidental if the only two places in Shas where we have this distinction between Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni happened to be a case of where you unplug a dam. I mean, that's a little bit of a funny case, unplugging a dam.
That's true in the case of the wheel, too.
The wheel also, yeah. It's talking about unplugging a dam, is the Pashtus. So he says, that's a very funny coincidence that's the case. No, it's talking about a stream. You have a river that's flowing. Now, it could be, the water wheel is in the stream. Now, it could be that's not such a crazy case, because if you look back then, how else do you get a flow of something going in order to power something? You need to dam something and remove the dam. But he says that maybe, and he introduces a term, hasaras hamoneya. Maybe this whole distinction between koach rishon and koach sheni is specifically by hasaras, which means removal, of a moneya. Hasaras, to remove, hamoneya, something that's preventing things. So when you're just removing a plug and the water is flowing, let's just think about it, it's already not your direct action. There's a big difference between pouring water and moving something that allows water to flow. So it's already not fully connected to you. So maybe when we're dealing with Hasaras HaMoneya, we make a distinction between Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. And we say that Koach Sheni is not attributed to you. Because it's a koach sheni that's coming from a hasaras hamoneya. But if it's a process that you actually initiate through a positive action, by spilling the water yourself, so then maybe in that situation, that would be considered your actions, even if it's koach sheni. Meaning if I would take a huge tub of water, and I would myself pour it into a canal, and the water would flow half a mile, and then kill someone, and then cause a shechita to happen, maybe that would be considered my action, even though it's half a mile down the road. Oh, but it's koach sheni. No, this koach rishon koach sheni distinction is only when you're doing hasaras hamoneya. But when you yourself are actually doing the action, so then maybe in that situation, it's always considered your action, even when it's koach sheni. Based on this, he wants to suggest that the machines making the tzitzis are for sure going to be okay. You don't have to get into a discussion, how do you define lishma? Does it need to be maisa adam in order to be lishma? He says that turning on the machine, if you actively turn on the machine, that's called your actions, and therefore even if it's koach sheni, that would be considered your actions, and we don't make this distinction of koach rishon koach sheni. Hold on 1 second. This is the Chiddush of the Kodja Glover. Now he himself, in the Tshuva, says that he doesn't want to read, he's throwing it out there as a suggestion. He's not willing to rely on this lahalacha. He's nervous to rely on it lahalacha. And he says that if you're asking me, should you buy tzitzis that were made by a machine, to the questioner, he says, I would tell you not to because there's a suffix here and I'm not 100% convinced my svara is correct. But he is attributed with this svara and pointing out that all of these Gemaras are specifically talking about Hasaras HaMoneya. Now, I have a few Ha'aras about it. Number one, I'm not an electrical engineer, and I don't know so much about electricity, but I do think, from the little that I do know, that there is what to discuss if turning on a switch is considered you putting the electrical current in, or if that's just Hasaras HaMoneya, meaning my very small knowledge of electricity is that in many switch situations, electricity is already there, it's waiting to flow, and when you remove, it might depend on the type of switch. Some switches might actually connect the current, and then when you connect the current, your switch connects the current that might actually be sending the electrical current in. So it's your action sending electrical current in. So we won't make this distinction between Koch Rishon, Koch Sheni, if the Kodja Glover is right. But if, when you flip a switch, you remove something that blocks electrical connection, there was an electrical connection there, and there was something blocking it, and by you hitting a switch, you just remove that blocker, so then we're talking about the same case of Hasara Samonea. So it might be, it might just be, I don't know anything about electricity, it might be clear how all electricity works, it might be it depends on how the electrical circuits are set up, if it's going to be Hasara Samonea, or if not. But this is the Chiddush of the Kodja Glover. I'm going to make another Ha'ara here, and that is that Rav Nachum points out that it seems like Tosfos learns like the Kodja Glover. And he wants to make a deal in Tosfos. Why? Because when Tosfos is giving his suggestions, he specifically quotes the case of Hasara Samonea from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Why does... Right, that's the case he quotes.
That's the only case.
Why doesn't he, when he's bringing up the possibilities, he wants to know what's the case of water? So he says, well, if it's that you remove the plug and it damages in Koch Rishon, that's Adam Amazik. If it's that it damages in Koch Sheni, then you're Pater. Why doesn't he discuss a case of where you yourself throw the water onto him? Where, again, not where you throw it directly onto him, because that would be Adam Amazik, but where you directly cause a flow of water, and then we have a question of Koch Rishon, Koch Sheni. Rav Nachum says, maybe because you wouldn't have that distinction of Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni when you yourself start the process. He specifically quotes the case in Sanhedrin because that's where we have this distinction between Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni. Okay, this is the Chiddush of the Kodja Glover. Yeah? Okay. The, yeah.
It'll be Koch Rishon.
Koch Sheni is also considered your Maisa. It's also considered you. Meaning, if you would kill the guy, not through Hasara Samonea, if you would kill him through you flowing the water with your own hands, you take a bucket, and you flow it, and you cause it to flow into the canal, and it ends up drowning him, everyone would agree that you're Chayv Misa for that. We wouldn't make the distinction of Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni. The Gemara, according to the Kodja Glover, purposely chose the case of Hasara Samonea because that's where we have this distinction between Koch Rishon and Koch Sheni. Yeah.
Don't know that Koch Koch is
Pater? Oh, so we're going to get to Koch Koch right now. Excellent. We're going to get to there right now. Rav Schechter suggests, and I saw the Chazon Ish also says this, but Rav Schechter says it out very, very nicely, and he develops it. Rav Schechter suggests a different distinction. Rav Schechter says that maybe we don't make this distinction as the Kodja Glover does between Hasara Samonea and when you actively cause something to flow. We don't make that distinction. But maybe we could have a different distinction. He says maybe we need to make a distinction between Koach Gavra and Maise Adam. Koach Gavra and Maise Adam. Says Rav Schechter, in general, in order to associate something with you, it needs to be your Maise. Maise Adam. And maybe in general, Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni, that's all considered your actions. It's all considered Maise Adam. However, it could be that in Halacha, there are a few areas in Halacha that require not just Maise Adam, they require an even higher level of human involvement. And that's what the Gemara and the Rishonim call Koach Gavra. Koach Gavra is an extra level of human action. And says Rav Schechter, again, we're using the same, that's why I started with the Kodja Glover. We're using the same thought process of saying maybe those Gemaras in Sanhedrin and Chulin are exceptions. But the exception is not what the Kodja Glover said the exception was. What was the exception according to him? Hasara Samonea. Maybe the exception there is a different exception. Maybe it's specifically by Shechita and Ritzicha. Maybe it's specifically by those where you need a very high level of human involvement. And therefore, only Koach Rishon is enough. Koach Sheni will not be enough. But that doesn't mean that when it's Koach Sheni, it's not considered my action. It's still considered my action. I like this because what I keep telling you is when you kill someone with koach sheni, if you kill someone with koach sheni, that killing with koach sheni is still you. You're still a bad guy. You're just not getting the death penalty for it. To get the death penalty, you need koach gavra. But when it's koach sheni, is it still my actions? Of course it's still my actions. It's still maisa adam, and says the shechter, and therefore, whenever you just need maisa adam, like for instance, for making tzitzis lishma, all you need is maisa adam, maybe. Let's go with the imrei eish. Let's go with the sanzerov. You need it to be your actions in order for it to be lishma. But it is your action, even when it's koach sheni. Any sugya that just requires human action, koach sheni is fine. The Gemara in Chulin and Sanhedrin that distinguish between koach rishon and koach sheni, that's specifically by shchita and ritzicha, where you need a very high level of human involvement. A higher level, called koach gavra. And Rav Shechter says, up until his chiddush, or the Chazon Ish's chiddush, all of the earlier achronim are all assuming that koach gavra and ma'is adam are the same thing. Koach gavra, ma'is adam, it's just different terms. One's Hebrew, one's like sort of Aramaic. They're just different terms for human action. And therefore they lumped all of these sugyas together. Comes Rav Shechter and says, maybe we shouldn't be lumping these sugyas together. Maybe we should be distinguishing between the sugyas. And there's one thing called ma'is adam, there's one thing called koach gavra. And therefore, according to that, Rav Shechter would say that since it's made with a machine, totally okay. That's called lishma. Why? Because it's koach adam. It's ma'is adam. Ma'is adam means human action. It's called my action. It's mityaches to me. It's attributed to me. Is it this higher level of koach gavra? Is it this higher level of human involvement? No. But you don't normally need that. So let's point out one or two things. Number one.
Tzitzis need koach gavra?
Tzitzis gavra? No. Tzitzis just needs to be my ma'is adam in order for it to be lishma.
Pushing the button to start the machine.
Would be okay. Oh, but it's koach sheni. The Gemara never said koach sheni is not your action. Gemara said my koach sheni is not koach gavra. Okay, a few haras. Number one, our Tosfos clearly disagrees with Rav Shechter and the Chazon Ish. Or I shouldn't say clearly, seemingly disagrees. Why? Because what does our Tosfos say? Our Tosfos compares Nezikin to Sanhedrin and Chulin. What does our Tosfos say? You'll be chayav for Nezikin only if it's koach rishon. If it's koach sheni, you'll be pater. How do I know from the Gemara and Sanhedrin? But wait a second. Nezikin is not one of these special things that needs koach gavra, is it? L'chora, koach for Nezikin, when am I chayav for Nezikin? If it's my maise. If it's maise adam, I'm chayav. It's an adam amazik. Where do you find that you need this higher level, something called koach gavra, in order to be chayav in Nezikin? And in fact, Rav Shechter quotes that the Gra says this explicitly in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch discusses that the Machlokish, we shown him, if you have a knife on your lap, and the knife falls and shechs an animal, is that considered a good shechita? Is that considered koach gavra? Is that considered a good shechita? Right, that's the discussion, the mochni, the machine by shechita. So let's say it falls out of your lap and shechs an animal. Is that considered a good shechita?
It's not even by
Sarah. Ah!
So, with the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that's not considered a good shechita. Says the Gra on this psak in the Shulchan Aruch, says the Gra on the bottom of the page, but for Nezikin, we know that you're chayiv in this situation. You guys all did that, Gemara. If you have a knife on your lap, a rock, I think is the case in Gemara, Evan Munach, and it falls and it causes Nezikin, you're pater on Dao Devarim, but what are you chayiv on? Nezek. You're chayiv on Nezikin. So the Gra himself makes this, the same exact distinction. When it comes to shechita, the falling knife will not be good. Says Rav Shechter, why? Because that's not koach gavra. It is maisa adam. It's enough for nezikin. It's enough for tzitzis. It's enough to be considered my action. So if the knife falls out of my lap and damages someone, I'm chayiv. Oh, was it ones? Well, that's the sugya. That's chavav. That's adam or leolam. I'm chayiv on an ones. So it falls out of my lap, it damages someone, I'm chayiv in Ezekiel. Why? It must be my sa'adam. It's adam amazik. It must be my sa'adam. Why then do we pass that it's not a good shechita? Because shechita doesn't require just my sa'adam. Shechita requires koach gavra. And for koach gavra, just falling out of your lap is not enough. We're going to need much more, as we see in these Gemaras. Koach rishon, You're going to need to have much more active involvement in order to be chayiv. And that's what I'm pointing out. Tosfos disagrees with this. Because Tosfos, unlike the Gra, who makes a distinction between Nezikin and Shchita, our Tosfos brings a raya from one to the other. Okay, there's one other sugya that Rav Shechter needs to deal with. This is the issue that you brought up. We only have a few more minutes. And that's the Gemara in Makos. The Gemara in Makos, Mishnah in Makos, has a very interesting machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. If someone has an axe, and they're chopping wood, and a wood chip flies out and kills someone, that's clearly an accidental murder. And the question is that considered something that is going to be, is that, are you punter legamre on that? Or do you get gullah? So is that called shogeg, or is that onus? Why are you going to be, what's going to be the din in that case? That's a machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbana. Do you get gullahs? Do you go to your miklat when you chop wood and a wood chip flies out and hits someone? Is there some culpability there? Is it a complete onus? Or is there some culpability? You know, you were doing it around people. That's the Mishnah in Makos. The Gemara there has a case where someone throws a clod of earth on this Mishnah. A clod of earth, and it hits a cluster of apparently very heavy dates. And the dates fall, and they kill someone. So the Gemara says, oh, that's the machlokas, Rebbe and the Chachamim. That's the same thing as when you chop the wood and a wood chip flies out. Whereas, no, not necessarily. Maybe I would have thought that even Rebbe, who says you're chayav golos, with the wood chip case, maybe here you would say you're pater. Because maybe this is koach kocho. It's twice removed from you. When you chop with the axe, you're chopping, that's your action, and a wood is flying out. So it's kocho. But here, you're throwing a clod of earth, so it's already not you, that's already kocho. And then when it hits the thing and the thing falls, the cluster falls, that's koach kocho. Kamash malan the Gemara, that's not called koach kocho. That's only once removed. Because the flying clod of earth, that's you. That's not already a step removed. That's you. Just like if I shoot a gun, that's me. Oh, but the bullet flew out. It wasn't like me punching someone. No, but it's direct. It's like... So still, all of that is considered direct from my action. So that's not even considered kocho. That's considered gufo. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so then what is the case of koch kocho? What is the case of koch kocho? Double removed. So Gemara has, again, our Ru Goldberg. Goldberg, we say? The Ru Goldberg machine. What happens? No?
Yes.
No? Yeah? Yeah, okay. So the Ru Goldberg machine. So what happens? The cases where you throw the clod hits a twig, the twig hits the cluster, and then the cluster falls down. That is koach kocho, and that's where you're putter. That's what the... That where it's... Well, it's really two times removed, because the initial throw is you. So it's two times removed. That's koach kocho. Okay. And that's clear in the Gemara that you're not chayiv. Now, according to Rav Shechter, though, why would you not be chayiv golos for that? Okay, but Ritzich is talking about getting the death penalty. It's not talking about getting golos. So that's what Rav Shechter has to say. Rav Shechter is going to have to say that included in this category of Ritzich is going to have to be golos as well. Golos also, the only way you're going to get golos is if it's koach gavra. And that's why when it's koach kocho, it's double removed from you. That's why in the Gemara it says clearly everyone's going to agree you're pater from golos, because that's twice removed for you. It might still be Mais Adam, but that's not Koch Gavra. And he says, hold on, he says, that actually helps us. He helps us tremendously, because there's a rush. This is what's bothering Bernie. There's a rush in Bava Kamma that Paskins, remember what the rush I'm talking about? The rush Paskins, that Koach Kocho, you're Chayiv on the Zikin. Koach Kocho, you're Chayiv on the Zikin. Koach kocho is kikocho dummy. It's the psak of the rush by Nezikin. Now, how can koach kocho double remove be chayav and Nezikin? Isn't that a steerer to this Gemara that we just read in Makos? The Gemara in Makos says you won't get golos if you kill with koach kocho. So Shechter says it's perfect. It's beautiful. Nezikin requires maisa adam. So guess what? Koach kocho, you're also chayav. Why? Whatever happened to koach rishon, koach sheni? How can koach kocho double removed, how can I be chayiv? So Shechter says, because all you need is Maisa Adam for a chayiv nezikin. That's the gra. So you're chayiv for nezikin. But to be chayiv galus, galus is in the category with ritzicha. It's not enough koach kocho, as the Gemara says explicitly in Makos. It needs to be your koach. It has to be koach rishon. It has to be koach gavra. All of these discussions are all very germane. We only have 4 minutes. These are all very germane to another interesting halachic discussion that's going to be coming up soon in the calendar, and that's going to be machine made matzah. The pasuk says shmartmes hamatzos. Shmartmes hamatzos. So the pashtus of what that means, shmartmes hamatzos, means that you have, the Gemara says you have to do shmiru. Shmartmes, you have to be shimur. What does that mean? It has to be shmura matzah. We talk about shmura matzah. So the simple interpretation of shmura matzah means that it's guarded to make sure that no water comes in contact with the flour. So as soon as water comes in contact with the flour, it starts to the process of chimutz, to become chametz. And that's what everyone knows, 18 minutes. You know, once the water, if you've ever been to a matzah factory, when do they start the 18 minutes? When the water touches the flour. They put the flour, everybody ready? Okay, where's the water guy? As soon as he starts pouring the water, they start the clock, the 18-minute clock. So shmura matzah, and different types of shmura matzah, the more machmir you are, what point do you guard the wheat that it doesn't get wet? Obviously, you realize you can't guard the wheat that always doesn't get wet because it's in a field and it grows because it gets water. Right? It can't never have water on it. But certainly once it's cut, then you can shas. If you look on some matzah boxes, it'll say shmura mishas ktsira. From the minute that it's cut, it's already. Some are going to only be mishas when it starts to be ground into flour. That's one interpretation of what shmura matzah is. But there's another interpretation of what shmura matzah is, and that means that it has to be done l'shma. That the matzahs need to be done l'shma. This is a big debate. But this is, many people, many of the matzahs, any matzah factory you go to, they're going to be saying l'shem mitzvahs matzah. They're going to be doing it l'shma. It's a big debate. Do you really need matzah to be made l'shma? That's certainly how most people assume l'halacha. It has to be done l'shma. How are our matzahs? If we have matzah, machine made matzah, so when you make it by hand, if you ever go to a handmade factory, if you come and join us for making matzahs here in Shalavim, so you'll see, while everyone's doing it, everyone's saying, L'shem mitzvahs matzah, everyone's, you know, singing, L'shem matzah. Okay, what about when you have a machine? How does a machine done that the machine does it l'shma? So this is connected to all of our discussion, primarily to the earlier discussion we had, is it enough to start the machine? So many factories rely on that psak of the Chazon Ish and Tzvi Pesach Frank, I believe, that when they turn on the machine, when everything's set up, they clean the machine, they put the flour in, they put the water in, the machine's going to mix it, and the machine's going to do everything. When they press the button, they say, L'shem matzahs mitzvah, and they press the button. They'll also be careful, like we quote this Avnei Nezer, when they put the flour in, L'shem matzahs mitzvah. They'll put in the water, L'shem matzahs mitzvah. And then when they hit the button, but I went to a factory a few years ago here in Modena, actually moved now to Kiryat Gat. It's a very interesting factory, built by a Hasidish guy from Meir Sharim, who didn't go to college, very smart guy, and he bought books and he trained himself in electrical engineering, and he built this huge matzah making machine. It takes up like, it's like imagine Ulam Echad opened up to the Beis Medrash, that whole long area. It's this one big, huge machine that this guy designed. This guy has a kaput and a long white beard, and he's standing there, you know, watching the machine, you know, with a lot of nachas, watching the machine. So I went there. The way the machine is built is that the machine only runs if you're holding down the button. If you let go of the button, the whole machine stops. Why is he doing that? He's trying to chav koach rishon. So they take the machine, they say, L'shem matzahs mitzvah, and there's a guy who's sitting there holding it the whole time going, L'shem matzahs mitzvah, L'shem, as he's holding down the button. And the whole machine only runs when he's holding down the button. Right, it could have done it other ways, but they wanted something where there's human involvement in every second. He doesn't want that it should become koach sheni. He wants it that every second. You could be, well, no.
Out here, it's not happening, but at the same time, he's not doing
it. No, because by him pressing it, no, but the flow of energy into the machine, it's like he's putting the energy in right now. He's causing it to go.
I'm not sure how exactly
but that is those are the matzahs that they make. Okay, everyone have a great Shabbos.